You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
The San Francisco 49ers are a top five offensive team in most categories. Brock Purdy is number one in just about every elite stat, your QBR stat that you love, yards per attempt, deep throw completion percentage, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. That's a reason he's playing like a top five quarterback, and so that's why they have the Philadelphia Eagles down.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Richard Sherman right there talking about the 49ers and Eagles matchup this week. Week 13 action. That's going to be a fantastic game. The 49ers are favored in that one by about three and a half points, which is a surprise to a lot of folks, including me. And we'll get into that conversation in a little bit. Joining us now on the phone lines from SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback, is our good friend Gilbert Manzano. Gilbert, thanks so much for your time. As always, my man, it's been a minute. Hopefully you had a really good holiday, Thanksgiving break. We definitely appreciate you. Let's go ahead and start with that 49ers and Eagles game as we scatter shoot around the NFL. How excited and pumped up are you about this game, and what do you think we'll learn coming out of this game?
Yeah, Q, I was telling somebody recently that like, this game I'm more excited for than when the Eagles played the Chiefs on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago, and that was a Super Bowl rematch. And I think maybe it was partly because the Chiefs haven't been playing too well, and then maybe even the Eagles to an extent haven't been playing too well. But this matchup here, there's some bad blood, some unfinished business, and I keep going back to Hassan Reddick's quote earlier in the week, like, yeah, 49ers keep yapping and crying about the NFC title game. Brock Purdy, had the injured arm, and all you do is cry and complain. Well, come to Philly and handle your unfinished business. So I like that kind of that point there. And Q, I'm a boxing guy, so I love when people trash talk. So
yeah,
there's something about that element there. And also going into Philly, like this 49ers team, it's awesome that they're at the peak of their powers right now. Like, I get it. Brock Purdy, didn't do so well when there was injuries with Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel, but they're fully loaded. They're complete. And that's why Brock Purdy has been doing so well the last 2 weeks. So, I don't like that point of view for the 49ers, but like everything has to be perfect on their roster to get by. But they are kind of perfect right now. And with the Eagles, they're not a perfect team. They're nitty gritty, physical. You come to our house, you better play our style of football. So that's my point there, where like I want to see the 49ers get into a physical, messy matchup in Philadelphia. Maybe it's raining again, Q, like it did the Bills game, go to overtime, come from behind. Like, I don't want it to be a perfect game script for the 49ers, because this team is always talented and they fall short. How about you make it a little difficult and you go into Philly, you come from behind the fourth quarter, and you beat them at their own game? Then I'll feel real good about the 49ers to finally win a Super Bowl since, 1994?
Right. And Philadelphia, look, you're right. They haven't played their best ball. They've had a few questionable moments. With all that being said, they're 10-1, right? They dropped one game, and that was to the Jets earlier in the season. So what is it, in your opinion, about the Eagles where they just find ways to get it done?
Yeah, Q, I hate cliches, but when people say winning DNA, the Eagles, whatever the heck that is, the Eagles have it. They just find ways to do it. And it comes down to good coaching, good philosophy, being good in the trenches, having a star quarterback, having playmakers. Like, they're just a complete roster where, like, if you miss a Dallas Goedert, he won't play the tight end. Like, just kind of plug in somebody else. When you have Lane Johnson, the right tackle, not playing, plug in somebody else. You draft well. You develop. Like, these things all matter, and they help you out through the course of a season, and they help you out, when you become, like, a winning franchise year by year, like the Patriots did. Like, yeah, guys leave, guys get hurt, but as long as you have the coaching, the quarterback, and the depth, and this winning kind of formula and culture, and you have a home field environment, like to your advantage, that all leads to winning these close games here. And it's wild to me that the Eagles have been outgained the past four games, but they're undefeated in the stretch. And that's not against cupcakes. That's the Chiefs and the Bills and the Cowboys, and they just find a way. And hopefully Nick Sirianni gets more love for Coach of the Year. I know people are talking about DeMeco Ryans, Shane Steichen, Dan Campbell, but let's not forget Nick Sirianni. Like, he's built that into a powerhouse, and I know Harry Roseman gets a lot of credit too, but he's done his part.
Yeah, no, he really has. That's a great point about Sirianni. So I'll close out with this about Jalen Hurts. Where would you put him as far as the MVP conversation goes?
Yeah, I think last week with the five total touchdowns against the Buffalo Bills, a good matchup. That was the last thing that Jalen Hurts needed for me to say he's the MVP. And you know the criteria. There's always like the quarterback on the best team with the with the best record, 10-1, tends to get it. But it felt like Jalen Hurts was kind of missing that signature moment, or kind of the numbers were a little off this year. Like, he's not playing as well as last year. But when you got that game under your belt, you're the hero and you're the star. And he had a rocky first half, but he carried them in the second half. And obviously they needed Jake Elliott to make the 59-yard field goal. But they win against good teams. And I want to give Dak Prescott a little more love there for the MVP. But, you know, he lost to the 49ers. He lost to Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. So I think right now Hurts is number one. And maybe it could be the year where you go wide receiver, you go Tyreek Hill. For a minute, it seemed like AJ Brown had a shot there. They kind of fell off there. But maybe a Myles Garrett. And I know people love Max Crosby in Las Vegas, but it always goes back to the quarterback with the best record. I think Jalen Hurts kind of checked off that last box. But he still has games against the 49ers, the Cowboys again. He plays the Seahawks. He could definitely improve this MVP campaign.
Gilbert Manzano, SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. You mentioned Jalen Hurts having that signature game, that moment under his belt where they won because of him. How important is it in the NFL now to have that quarterback where you're not just he's guiding the ship and he's not sinking it, but he's winning you the games?
Yeah, you know, it's big, and it feels like quarterback play is a little down this year. And, you know, we all know Tom Brady's comment about being mediocre football, and Tom Brady saying the excellence is not there and it's all a little slow. And I guess maybe I could see the frustration this year because it's been injuries. Like, Kirk Cousins was doing well. He got hurt. Joe Burrow got hurt. You know, a bunch of injuries for the quarterback position. But, you know, we all feel like the Chiefs and because of Patrick Mahomes and the Ravens because of Lamar Jackson, they're going to be there 1 and 2. The Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence will probably be in the mix. You know, I know Tua's kind of in that in-between phase, but he's done enough to be there. So when you have a good quarterback, you're going to be in the Final Four in your conference, and you look over to the NFC, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, is kind of on that Tua line, but he's been playing out of his mind, being red hot. So I think that gives you an advantage. You got Jalen Hurts, obviously, and Brock Purdy, too. Like, people say that, you know, he has so many weapons, but when the weapons are there, he's making the most of it. A lot of these quarterbacks have a good surrounding, but they don't throw the way he does, or perfect passer rating like he did a couple of weeks ago. So when you got that quarterback, it really kind of sets you apart. And, like, I watch a team like the Browns every week, Q, and it's like you're asking so much from your defense to be perfect. And it just kind of sometimes weighs on you mentally, and it's very draining. And where the Browns got lit up by, like, Gardner Minshew a couple weeks ago, it was like a 38-37 game. Because it's a mental toll when you're being asked to do so many things one-sided. You need the game script to go your way. And with the quarterback, like, Jalen Hurts was pretty bad in the first half last week, but he's so good, he could kind of carry them when you need it. So that quarterback play really sets you apart. But I know people are trying to experiment because of Brock Purdy, what he did. You found him as the last pick of the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. But he's also a good player. Let's not forget about that. So and you're finding now in Las Vegas with Aiden O'Connell, like, it's not that easy to kind of plug in a guy who was, you know, didn't have a lot of status in college and just say, hey, go do what Brock Purdy did. It ties into a lot of areas, and it's kind of a sticky situation or a debate. But you got to be a playmaker. You got to be a baller. But he also, it would be nice to have some good surroundings.
And, you know, you brought up Aiden O'Connell. I wanted to go there. You know, that he's got five more games guaranteed left on the schedule to see how he could play, if he could be the guy moving forward. What have you thought about O'Connell so far, the action that he's got, and what do you think he needs to prove the rest of the way?
Yeah, you know, he's a solid quarterback, but he just doesn't scream, you know, long-term starting quarterback franchise in the NFL. And, you know, maybe sometimes these teams, like, look at the Bengals, like, they have Joe Burrow, and you go into a big season thinking, well, if something happens to Joe Burrow, we got Jake Browning. Like, that's like when Jake Browning goes in, or Tim Boyle, or Zach Wilson, which is weird because he's number two pick. Like, it kind of just really deflates you as a team. Like, you start thinking, we have no chance. You've got to have a good backup, and I feel like Aiden O'Connell could be that guy. And that's a big thing to have, what people, a lot of teams ignore. And look at the Colts. Like, they had Gardner Minshew to step in for Anthony Richardson, and they're floating by. They're doing well. They're, you know, they're not the best team, but the season isn't over. So I think he kind of fits in that, you know, luxury backup quarterback who maybe win you a couple games when he's asked to start. And that's where you're kind of seeing some of the decline with Aiden O'Connell lately, especially when you have more game film out there, teams are adjusting, things like that. But I don't know, just obviously things could change. There's a lot of football left where you could feel like, hey, you know what, give me a chance here. And, you know, but it's also could be a bad thing too. I'm thinking about it as I go. But as an example, Sam Howell had one game last year, and he played against the Cowboys, who were getting ready for the playoffs. But he played well in that one game, and that was the last thought in Ron Rivera's mind into the offseason, and they gave him the job. So I think it's what you do for me lately. So that last month, if he's playing well, it could be an opportunity. It also gives you options in the draft. Like, you don't have to show your cards and say, that team, the Raiders, they desperately need a quarterback, so we know what they're going to choose. If you have Aaron O'Connell, you start bluffing and say, hey, he did well for us. We might go with him as a starter. You see all the smoke screens in the draft season. So just, I'm trying to find these benefits here, but obviously the simple answer, he's not the guy for you to be the long-term franchise quarterback.
Great stuff. Great stuff, really, right there from Gilbert Manzano, SI Now Monday Morning Quarterback, with us here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. So right now, Gilbert, we know there's two openings as far as head coaches go. Obviously, the Panthers just fired Frank Reich on Monday, and then the Raiders fired Josh McDaniels on Halloween. So there's two. But we know that that's not where it's going to end. How many openings do you see when Black Monday comes around? How many coaching vacancies do you think we'll see?
Yeah, I guess the number being thrown around is 10. And, you know, I think my colleague Connor Orr was hinting at that, you know, a few months ago. I know Schefter said it recently too, but, you know, 10 would be pretty ridiculous out there. But it might be a little lower, because I was thinking maybe he gets a 10 if the Bills pull the plug on Sean McDermott, because, like, he's done what he can there, and they kind of, like, maxed out. And, like, all right, you need something different to get that team over the hump. But I just saw reports that, you know, it's 0% chance he's going to get fired. So it could be 8, which is still very high. And Q, I don't know if I should go this route, but, you know, it's that time of year where people are saying candidates and all these names. And I just feel like if there's 8 to 10 jobs, like, I'm going to be so disappointed if none of these candidates are, like, minorities, people of color.
Right. Yeah.
It's all, you know, all these familiar faces, people you know. And I'm like, okay, if there's 10 jobs, it would be nice if it was, like, 3 or 4 that goes to minority candidates. But, you know, I don't want to be the negative person there, but obviously you got Mike McDonald from the Ravens, you got Ben Johnson, you got the Jim Harbaughs, you got the Bill Belichick, who still has a job, by the way. And then obviously you got, like, Frank Smith too. So a lot of good candidates there, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's that time of year where, like, you know, you want to see more diversity in this, like, mm-hmm. this candidate pool here, especially if it's 8 to 10 jobs. You know, I'm kind of I got to hold my breath for that, but I would like to see kind of a big pool of candidates, especially with the Raiders getting the jump there. And the Raiders have a long history of checking everywhere, checking under every rock. And then obviously you got the Panthers kind of getting a head start too, but I could definitely be seeing 8 to 10. And, you know, I cover the Chargers closely. I keep an eye on them, and everybody's already assuming Brandon Staley's out.
Yeah.
Everybody's assuming Bill Belichick is going to be out too in New England. But there's still 6 games to go. Ron Rivera, too, could be another one. Who knows with Dennis Allen with the Saints, too. So Arthur Smith with the Falcons. The more I think about it, it could definitely be 10.
Yeah, I know. I was doing the same exercise. I was like, yeah, he could be out. Yeah, he could be out. Oh, yeah, he's definitely out, right? I mean, it's so easy to kind of do that. And you're right. The Raiders got a jump start on all of it by being the first team to fire their coach on Halloween night. So we'll close out with this. Right now, Antonio Pierce is the interim head coach. Champ Kelly is the interim GM. You want to talk about diversity, there's some right there. I'm good with that. Yeah. AP is learning on the fly. I mean, he's never been a head coach in the league. He's only had 4 games under his belt. But even from a distance, what have you seen from Antonio Pierce so far that, you know, as he's been the head coach of the Raiders?
Yeah, the number one thing, Q, he did not waste time finding an identity for this franchise. Like, you know, with the Josh McDaniels thing, it kind of felt like you're copying the Patriot way. And then when you're copying that way, you know, it's a long term, because it's all about winning and establishing a long term culture of winning. And so it was nothing quick about it. And you're copying something from the get-go, which I don't like. With Antonio Pierce, he's like, hey, we have Josh Jacobs. He freaking won the rushing title last year. Let's run the freaking football. And I remember in that, I think it was Sunday Night Football on the Jets, where he just said on the broadcast, let's run the damn ball. And obviously, like, all of a sudden, Josh Jacobs is close to getting 1,000 rushing yards, which kind of seemed wild a couple months ago. So he's established running the ball, and he knew that he has a good defense. Like, it's been a long time since the Raiders defense has been productive, reliable. And that's a credit to Patrick Graham, the DC over there. So he knew he could lean on his defense. He knew he could just run the ball and just keep these, like that Miami game. They didn't win that game. Some people, a lot of Raider fans came up to me and said, you're going to get blown out, right? And I'm like, no. Like, if you check the Dolphins kind of Achilles heel, and you keep their team on the sideline, and you have a good defense, and you know how to run the ball and control the clock and have long drives, they don't really kind of do what they usually do and drop 30 points. And that's what they did. They played tough there. So I love that the identity was established. And, like, you know your limitations, you know your strengths, and you don't hide around it. And then, you know, I just kind of like the cool demeanor with the cigars. And I get you can't do cigars after every regular season victory, especially against the Giants or the Jets. But it kind of just got you going, okay, you know, you can have fun, but we're going to be disciplined as hell here, and you better win in crunch time. So I did like that. But I'm hoping for a good finish for Antonio Pierce. I know it didn't go the way he wanted to in Miami or playing the Chiefs there, and there was a good start there with the New York teams. But just know what you're good at, and just being patient and trusting that, and not kind of like bailing after every sign of trouble. I've liked that from AP. But let's see what he does for the final month there. And maybe he gets a fair shake if it turns out the way that – if he does well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I like the energy that he's brought. And I like you said, he established an identity. And obviously those players in the locker room feel it and appreciate it as well. Well, great stuff as always, Gilbert. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for, my man?
Yeah, you know, kind of more – you know, right now I'm working on a lot of stuff, you know, based on what's going on in the week. So I kind of – it's like wait-and-see mode. Like if the, something happens with this Cowboys-Seahawks game tonight, then obviously something will drop soon. But I don't know. I'm not holding my breath because it might be a blowout because the Seahawks have been pretty terrible. But obviously check out my stories always at SI.com. I'm not as active on Twitter X anymore, but you can also find me on TikTok or YouTube. At GManzano24, both handles on Twitter and TikTok. But yeah, whenever you see me retweet something, check my byline and a bunch of stories pop up.
Well, I'll tell you this, worst come to worst, you can always talk about Aaron Rodgers and his Achilles heel is going to be fine, and he's going to go play, and he's going to save the day for the Jets, and yada, yada, yada. You could do that. So there's that,
yeah,
my man.
I'm tired of that, but yeah.
Thank you. I'm right there with you, brother. I'm glad you said that. Hey, great stuff as always, man. Thanks so much for giving us some time. And if I don't talk to you before, man, have a happy holidays for you and your fam.
Thank you, Q. You too. Appreciate the time as always. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, sir, brother. You as well. Gilbert Manzano right there. SI Now, Monday morning quarterback with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness at GManzano24 on Twitter if you want to check him out. And, yeah, I'm with him right there. I'm so tired of Aaron Rodgers. He is. He isn't. He is. He is. Look, dude, sit your tail down. You're not coming back this year. The O-line is terrible. The team's not very good. Yes, your defense is good. But you know what? There's a reason why you were banged up after four snaps this season. Go on and sit it back. Sit it back down. Be all right. You'll come back next year, and you'll do your thing. And if not, well, then you won't. But if you mess it up again this year, you definitely won't come back next year. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Don't forget, Lincoln Kennedy joins the show coming up at 3:30. Mitch in New Jersey, you're up. What's on your mind?
Cute. Pleasure to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you, brother?
Good. Just getting home. I see my grandson. I want to see Renfro get some numbers. Wilson, I mean, first round pick. I'm with the draft, I'm looking at that guy from UCLA. And did you hear DJ Uyunglele put his name in a portal? Yeah, how many times can you transfer? I mean, go get an NFL. I guess maybe since he's only a second round, that'd be a steal for the Raiders. I'd love to see the Raiders get him in with two. That'd be something. You know, DJ's got a brother with Oregon State. Mateo is his name? Mateo?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be really good, too. He's going to be a top five pick.
So it's nice.
It's not going to lose for long. You know, let's just turn it around, I hope, hopefully soon, and get some good linemen. Now, that guy Farrell, the 49ers winner Super Bowl, he gets a ring. You know how much he did for us.
Right? Hey, good stuff, Mitch. Good stuff. Thanks for the call, my man. Definitely appreciate you. And, yeah, man, there's some guys, man. I don't know how much you've been paying attention. Not you, but others have been paying attention to college football. There is a lot of moving and shaking, man. That transfer portal is serious. Quarterbacks going from here to there. UCLA quarterback transferring. Oregon State quarterback transferring. I mean, just everyone. Matt Rhule, former Carolina Panthers head coach, said, I believe he said on maybe it was the Pat McAfee show today, maybe it was yesterday, that basically you need about $2 million to be able to land you a quarterback. You need about $2 million in NIL money to land a quarterback, or else they're going to be transferring and they're going to transfer to the highest bidder. That's just what they're doing these days. Even Caleb Williams is saying, well, it's not a guarantee that I'm going to go to the league. I might just stick around USC for another year. No, dude, no, you're not. You've already had a down year. You're still hanging on to that number one, number two spot. Yes, NIL money's good, but Bryce Young, as the number one overall pick a year ago, got $39 million fully guaranteed. I don't care what NIL you got, it is not $39 million guaranteed. So if you don't want to mess that up, and football is a game that you can mess that up really quickly, you don't want to do that. You obviously declare for the NFL, and you go with whoever gets you. Could be Chicago, could be someone else, but you take it while you can, because in the NFL and football in general, none of that is guaranteed. There's no telling that you're going to all of a sudden go and play another year in college and be just fine because, well, you got $2 or $3 million in NIL money, so you should be fine. Yeah, that's a lot of money, but $39 million fully guaranteed is a lot of money, my friend. So there's that. We threw the question out there to you on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. What is it that you want to see from this team the most these final 5 weeks? It could be team-related. It could be individual player-related. Whatever the case may be, it's on you. What do you want to see? I had a couple things that I threw out there, a couple little like answers, I guess, but a little criteria, little options out there that I'd like to see. One, I'd like to see Max Crosby lead the league in sacks. He's only two behind Danielle Hunter right now, the Minnesota Vikings. Max is at 11.5. Danielle's at 13.5. So that's very much within striking range. Over the next five games, I could see Max getting 5-6 sacks. Really could. I don't think that it's it's out of the stretch of your imagination. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. It's there. He could definitely go ahead and handle that. Also, as far as the defense goes, I want to see him get as close to that 40 sack total and 20 interception total. Now, the interceptions is going to be a lot harder to achieve. They're at 10 right now. They've got five games left, but they do have 28 sacks. So that's pretty good as well. That's a lot better than what they're usually averaging, so I'm good with that. But I would love to hear from you at 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R. Got a text. Where was the text that I was looking for? Where did it go? Where'd it go? Oh, Raider Dill. This is a good one. Raider Dills was short and to the point. That's why I missed it. I went right past it like three times. I was looking square at it. I want to see Max win Defensive Player of the Year. Simple. That's it. That's exactly why I flew right past it. I'm up here scrolling up and down, Ari, and I went smooth past it because it was so short, sweet, simple, to the point. There it is. Defensive Player of the Year. And I would love to see that as well, but I just don't think it's realistic because the Raiders haven't won enough games. That's the thing. Like you get those kind of awards when your team is winning more games, right? You don't win 5, 6, 7 games and get a Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to go to Myles Garrett. It's so funny. Even when we were talking to Gilbert, he was talking about Myles Garrett, potentially being, in the MVP conversation. Myles Garrett is right there next to Max Crosby. His season is very similar to Max's, but Cleveland's won more games than the Raiders have. So right now, even though they're down a quarterback, a lot of people say, you know what, that's okay. Deshaun Watson's not there, no problem. They got Myles Garrett in that defense. Now, their defense is stellar, but Myles Garrett's getting all the props. T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh is getting all the props. Their offense isn't scoring anything, right? I get it, man. And the Raiders' defense has been playing well also, but they haven't won enough games. So that's where I think that they don't qualify for those kind of awards. Again, like I said, I would love to see him win those awards. I think that'd be fantastic, but I just don't think that it's a possibility since they're not got the W's under their belt. Mike hit us up on Twitter and said, Q, I'm surprised no one else has said this. What do I want to see the rest of the season? How about beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day? That would be great. I picked the Raiders, and I know we'll go over our NFL picks for Week 13 coming up in a little while. We'll probably do that around, I don't know, what did we say? Ari, we got that at 4, or we got that at 4:30? What time do we have that? We got that at 4.
4-ish.
Yeah, we got that at 4 o'clock. We'll go over that at 4 o'clock. I had the Raiders doing that last week, and the reason I did is because I felt a lot better with them doing that at home at Allegiant Stadium as opposed to Christmas morning. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't go there, but it's a colder day. In Arrowhead, they don't have the hometown crowd on their back and with them, even though Allegiant Stadium had a lot of Chiefs fans there as well. We all know that. But I just felt like if they were going to have a chance to beat the Chiefs this year, it was going to be at home. And that's why I rolled with them on Sunday. That game at Allegiant, at Arrowhead, that's going to be tough. But doesn't mean they can't win it. They've obviously won in Arrowhead before. So we'll see. That would be a nice Christmas gift, though, for Raider Nation, right? Wake up early on a Christmas morning, watch the Raiders play, and they go get a W over the Chiefs. That would be awesome. Can't say it's going to happen or that I'm real confident in it happening right now, but that would be nice if they did that. But first things first, they got to worry about the Vikings, not this week, but next week. 3:25 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Do you want to give away something right now or do you want to wait? Okay, well, you want to wait?
Yeah, we'll have some winning on the way. There's your tease, everyone.
All right, the tease is Mountain West Championship game tickets. UNLV, Boise State, Allegiant Stadium. You want those tickets, we got them coming up before 4 o'clock. We'll give those tickets out before 4 o'clock. Caller number 9 is what we'll be looking for. Not just yet, but coming up before 4 o'clock. So that's your ultimate tease right there. Lincoln Kennedy, he joins the show next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
The biggest thing that I, and in terms of advice that I give, is like, there's really no secret to it. I feel like I'm really big on work ethic, and it's hard work. I mean, there's no secret to it. You got to put that work in every day, and also just always believe in yourself and know what you can do and what you need to do to get to where you want to be.
Las Vegas Raiders color analyst Lincoln Kennedy joins Unnecessary Roughness right now on Raider Nation Radio.
You heard the sounds of Marcus Epps right there riding around on a little ride along talking about hard work. You can always check out all that. Raiders put up a lot of really good content on their website, Raiders.com. That's one of their features, riding around with a player or an analyst, and really good stuff. Right now, speaking of riding along, we're riding along with a Lincoln. That's Lincoln Kennedy. He joins us now on the phone lines. And Big Link, we appreciate you as always, man. How excited are you for this Friday, man, the Pac-12 championship game?
Well, first I want to know, Q, is when we're going to ride around that big Bentley truck that you've been rolling around in Vegas, man. I want to roll around that and see if we can, rap some lyrics or something or sing some songs while we're chilling around, whatever. But that's what I'm waiting for. That's the episode I'm waiting for. As far as tomorrow, I am excited. I'm a little worried because I'm a dog, but I am excited. Ducks coming to town, dogs coming to town. Should be a good game.
Yeah, it should be. I'm excited about the game. I mean, the Huskies gave the Ducks their only loss of the season, and ever since then, Oregon's been playing really well, and Washington's been squeaking by. But look, there's something to be said about teams that find ways to get W's, and they have, led by Michael Penix. I thought they've done a hell of a job so far.
Yeah, I think they did. It's really a good year, and you think about what Kalen DeBoer has been able to do, his second year of being the head coach in a major program. You take your team undefeated through conference play all the way to the conference championship, and you're knocking on the doorstep of getting into the college football playoffs. That's pretty extraordinary for itself. But it's just a testament to everything that the great staff of Washington is able to do. And not taking anything away from Oregon. Oregon's a good damn team. I think Oregon, in my opinion, Oregon's the most complete team in the conference. And it was only second by Oregon State, and you saw what they did to Oregon State. So, Bo Nix, in my opinion, is going to win the Heisman.
Yep.
This is a really good team, and Washington is going to have their work cut out for them. It's going to be another good high-scoring game like it was the last time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am, and I love what Michael Penix is able to do from the quarterback position. So I'll be rocking with you, man. I'll be rocking with Washington on Friday there at Allegiant Stadium. Again, Lincoln Kennedy is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. For the Raiders who are off this week, what do you think the coaches are doing? Like, what are they working on this week while the players are away resting?
Probably how to best utilize the weapons they have for the remainder of the season. The thing is when you get to this point of the season, and it was a little different for the Raiders because they didn't start the way that they've been playing now, but you should have a pretty good line on what Aiden O'Connell can do, okay? You should have a pretty good line on, no pun intended, your lines in general, both offense and defense line, what they're capable of, their strengths are, what they might need to improve on. And the reason why I say that, you go down from position to position, you go down almost player to player, depending on how detail-oriented you want to be. But you want to be able to formulate plans moving forward. You want to be able to maximize the strengths of the players you have and try to cover their weaknesses as much as possible. So that's what you want to do going forward, because there's still a lot of football left to be played. But now the sense of urgency is on the premium the second half of the season.
Right. There's no doubt. Again, Lincoln Kennedy is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. How much is this going to help guys like Bo Hardigree and Antonio Pierce, who were thrown into the mix? They were thrown into the mix after McDaniels gets fired on Halloween. November 1st, they're taking the jobs and getting promoted to interim offensive coordinator, interim head coach. Now they actually get a little bit of chance to breathe this week where they're not preparing for an actual team.
Well, I don't know if you can necessarily say you're breathing. As long as you have the interim tag, mm-hmm. on the front of your name, I don't know if you're breathing. I think there's a little bit of nervous energy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you can make a good case for yourself. You know, the thing is that you look around the league, and I know a lot of owners are getting tired of retreading the same old coaches over and over again. So it's an opportunity to look at some fresh faces and some new opportunities for other guys. And so that's what, you know, if you're Bo Hardigree, if you're Antonio Pierce, that's what you want to take advantage of, because now you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to put your resume down and put on your resume that this is what I've achieved and this is where I am, so I can be in consideration going forward. There's going to be a lot of jobs that are going to be opened up as there are every year. But, you know, the big thing is that you've got some big college jobs open up as well. You know, there's some big money in college, and there are a lot of guys in the National Football League level who said that they might be ready to take on a college program again now the NIL and all the other stuff has changed.
Yeah, the NIL, the transfer portal, man, that's really changed the game. Earlier this week, we saw Roderick Teamer and Marcus Peters both get waived for obvious different reasons, one on the field and the other off the field. But what kind of message do you think that sent to the rest of the locker room?
I would hope that it says we're going to hold people accountable. I've been affiliated around professional football for quite some time, and I have seen guys get away with a ton of books.
Right.
You know, and still the fact that they still have a job or they're still able to go out there, I would like for and I understand talent outweighs a lot of things, especially off the field. So I get it. I'm not boo boo the fool. I wasn't born yesterday. But I will say this: you hold guys accountable, you make them aware, and what you do is you send a message out to the rest of the league. Care who you are, don't care what you achieve. Everyone has to do their part, and when you're not pulling your part or you're not holding up your end of the bargain, whether it's off-the-field antics or even on-the-field play, you don't belong in a uniform, me.
Right, I agree. And speaking of on-the-field and in uniform, were you surprised about the lack of effort from Marcus Peters? I had pretty high hopes for him.
Well, I had high hopes for that first game, and then I realized what we were up against.
Yeah.
And I'd leave it at that. I mean, I don't need to say any more than that. It's proof is in the pudding.
No, it is. And I was just, you know, a guy that's – that's his hometown team. I know his dad was fired up to see him in his uniform, and for him just not to go out there and give that effort, it really surprised me and shocked me. But it kind of is what it is. I guess Tigers don't change their stripes at certain points. What about Malcolm Kuntz?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
You watched him, Q. I watched him play early in his career, mm-hmm. and I thought he was a good, solid corner. Definitely understood the accolades and all the awards that he was getting. It made sense because he was active like that. And when you're able to do that from a cornerback position, you can label it as a shutdown corner, whatever, a good solid corner, you're able to make plays, you force quarterbacks to go away from you because they're worried about you. And
right.
That's what you want. That's the presence that you want from a defensive back on the football field. You know, and you've had that various times for people that have worn number 24. But the thing is that I just didn't see it from a very start early part of it.
Yeah.
And watching how Graham was calling his defense, putting a lot of pressure on those corners out in the perimeter to be tacklers because blockers were going after safeties and the interior guy. And if you don't make that tackle, it's a big game. If not, you know, give it up a touchdown.
And we saw both. We saw big gains,
yep.
and we saw touchdowns.
Yep.
And that shouldn't be acceptable, and clearly it isn't moving forward again. Lincoln Kennedy is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary roughness. Malcolm Kuntz, I feel like he's been getting a lot more burn, and he's really starting to show what he could do. What have you seen from Malcolm Kuntz as you're sitting up there next to Jason in the press box?
Effort. We've seen effort. I think he really had a nice coming out against Miami, mainly because the tackle that he was taking on, Armstead, I think it was his name, mm-hmm. Struggled with speed on the outside. And I told Jason before the game, we were just talking amongst ourselves, I said, I expect 51 to have a big day. And it's along the lines that we were talking about before, Q, about Tyrese Wilson just coming along. It's going to take some time. Guys have to learn how to play on this level. You have to learn about the speed of the level. More importantly, you have to learn the timing of the plays. There's not a quarterback that's just going to sit back there for 4.5 seconds and hold on the football.
Right.
You get there.
Right.
You got to beat them right away, or you got to make it a sense of urgency, or there's got to be good coverage to make them pull that ball down. But when you look at some, and I'm not a big stat guy, but you look at some of the stats that are out there about getting rid of the football, the time in the pocket, how quick they are, man, you've got to be burning rubber to get back to that quarterback.
Right.
Where the ball's going.
Right.
And you're doing it all over again. You see what I mean? So that's the thing. But you have to learn how to do that. Even the great ones that I played against, it wasn't always the same when they first started. They made themselves great playing a long time and doing what they did well. But, it was the second move as far as defensive ends are concerned. You need the rush ends. You need a second move. Got to have a counter move. I think he's developing that. I think he's coming along nicely. I like him. I wish he was a little bit bigger, because when you put him over tight ends on the right side, the strong side of most times, he's a little bit smaller. Some of those guys are up there 360, 370, and I don't even think he's breaking 300.
Right. I'm glad we started talking about Tyree. There's still 5 games left in this season, so I know it's not over yet. But how important do you think this offseason is going to be for him to really get after it and get on the grind? Because this felt like almost a redshirt year for him.
Yeah, you can look at it like that. But the progression that you want from a first-year player to a second-year player are giant leaps to where you can contribute. Have mm-hmm. them contribute on the 48-man roster.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
You want to know people's worth. Because here's the thing I've always felt, and I've told people this as they build up to the draft. Most of these teams are already formed. As soon as the season is over, the coaches are breaking down who you want to keep, who you want to move on, what do we need to fill, how do we plan on filling. Most of the teams, by the time you get to the draft, your roster is pretty much in check. You're only going to fine-tune it because you're going to use the draft to try to excel some of those picks or some of those ideas that you want. And there aren't a lot of people, because the money has been so huge, there aren't a lot of teams that are going to play around with big free agents. So you're developing your youth has become a premium. Big emphasis.
Yeah, I like it. I do. I love the breakdown, right? And, again, he came into the league with, the injured foot coming off the surgery and got off to a slow start. So, I think that he could provide a lot more, but he was behind the eight ball as far as I'm concerned when everything started. So,
well, when you start off with an injury, okay, that's one thing against you. And, I came in the league with an injury. I had a broken wrist. Mm-hmm. I just had surgery on during the combine. So I had a big old cast on my wrist, okay, my right arm. But it's not having a foot injury that
right.
affects your speed. So even as an offensive lineman, I couldn't use my hands the way I wanted to. I just had to get around and work around it. But when you talk about a foot injury, coming off a lower leg injury, and you also talk about that he's not a small guy, he's a big guy, putting a lot of pressure on that.
Right.
So you're asking your body to do a lot when you said. So I agree with your point, much like a redshirt year.
Final question for you, Lincoln. I wanted to ask you about Mad Max Crosby. Never takes any time off. He clearly was out there on Sunday, even though he dealt with everything trying to get out there.
Right.
Didn't practice all week, was doubtful. It doesn't happen that they go play. He did go play. What did you just think about the effort from Max just to get out there and participate?
The energy is contagious. It really is. The energy is contagious. And you see, you talked about AP being, getting the job at the beginning of the month, last month. And now we're approaching the end of it. You can definitely see a difference in the energy of the way the team is playing. There's mm-hmm. a difference there, okay? That energy, and I do believe you take on the identity of your coach, head man in charge. I do believe that as a team, mm-hmm. and I think you're slowly morphing to that. Max is one of those captains, one of those intricate parts of what the Raiders do that's essential, because his energy is contagious. It's infectious. It resonates through the locker room. That's what you want your seniors to be. That's what you want your leaders to be, your captains to be. Doesn't have to be a big rah-rah. Doesn't have to be a lot of voice stuff. Go out there and play hard, and other people will follow. And I think that's what you're seeing now.
I did too. I agree. And that was just unbelievable that he was out there playing, especially now that we know how severe that knee injury really was. Well, Lincoln, great stuff as always, my man. What's on the docket for the weekend? Are you around town watching this game tomorrow, or what's going on?
But I'm about to jump in the car with my boys. We're driving up to Vegas for the big game tomorrow. We're going to head over to Angry Crab Shack, get some good food, watch the game, hang out Friday night, and then drive back Saturday.
Okay.
It's a weekend.
Are you on the call? You got a call on Saturday?
No call. No.
Nice.
Lincoln did enough for that. So, link it off. I'm good.
Right? I know that's right. Well, hey, man, good luck to the Huskies tomorrow, man. I'll be pulling for them. We'll be watching them. I know you'll be locked in, and maybe we'll run into town with each other, and we can ride around that Bentley that you're talking about.
I'm looking forward to the Q. Go Dawgs. I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother. There he goes. Lincoln Kennedy, the great Lincoln Kennedy with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. I'm saying that I'm talking about a Bentley right now. The wife's going to be like, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Slow your roll, homeboy. What you talking about, a Bentley, man? There ain't no Bentleys in this garage, so, you know. You're going to get me in trouble, man. Lincoln's going to get me in trouble. The wife's going to think that I'm up here plotting on something. I ain't plotting on nothing, wife. Nothing. Nikes and Cadillacs. That's what gets me in trouble. That's all it is. 3:44 is the time. Many thanks to Lincoln Kennedy. Definitely appreciate him. Let's go ahead and talk. We talked about the Pac-12 championship game. Why don't we talk about the Mount West championship game? That's not happening on Friday. That's happening on Saturday. At Allegiant Stadium. You want a pair of tickets? Ari is standing by right now in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio looking for caller number 9, UNLV, Boise State, 702-365-9200. Caller number 9 right now is going to get hooked up with a pair of tickets to see the Mountain West Championship game. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Many thanks to Lincoln Kennedy. Joined us in the last segment talking all things silver and black. Good stuff with him as always. We definitely appreciate him. We also appreciate Kevin. Kevin got hooked up with the tickets to go see UNLV versus Boise State at Allegiant Stadium. You want to talk about a game? Whoa, Nelly. That's going to be a good one. Excited about that one, the Mountain West Championship game. Can't believe that, one, it's going to be at Allegiant Stadium, and two, UNLV is going to be in it. Back-to-back championship games will be played at Allegiant Stadium. Pac-12 championship tomorrow, Washington versus Oregon, number 3 versus number 5, Lincoln Kennedy versus Eddie Pascal. Lucky that that's not them on the football field because Eddie wouldn't stand a chance.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm taking Lincoln.
Yeah, you think? I'll take Lincoln with half asleep.
Love you, Eddie, if you're listening.
Yeah, no disrespect to Eddie, but I mean, you know.
You know it's true.
Right. Look, me, Eddie, you, and JT could be on Eddie's side, and it still wouldn't work. You know, it still wouldn't work. We'd still lose that battle. So, but I'll tell you, man, like Lincoln said, Oregon is a really good team. They have not lost since that Washington loss. So, there's a reason why they're favorites to win this game, right? And Washington is the ranked higher. They're in the college football playoffs at number 3. So that's going to be a fun one. And then the very next night, it's going to be the Mountain West Championship game with UNLV and Boise State. Definitely excited about all of that. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Talk to our guy, Prue Tucky Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, hi, Q. How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Hey, before I answer the questions, I like to have a little fun with it. I just want to wish, you know, as the calendar turns to December tomorrow, I want to wish a very blessed holiday to you and your family coming up.
Thank you. Appreciate
and,
you, too.
You too. I talked about the it factor, you know, about sometimes you can't put a finger on and how a performance is done and you just have a gut feeling with all that. But I just want to say a little bit about you. You do such great work on your podcast, you know, your show. It's very unique, ESPN. And I, you know, as I approach retirement, I think, you know, how am I going to get some extra money? And I light bulb that said, you know what, I know what I can do. I would love to be your agent as you continue to climb up your corporate sports ladder, because I think you just have the it factor. And I just want to compliment you on that. I said, if you ever need somebody to do that as you'll go further and further, I think the agent can make some really good money. I said, there's a way I can supplement my retirement.
Hey, so, you know what? That sounds good. If I ever get the opportunity to make enough money to have an agent, that'd be awesome, man. I'd be all right by that.
Well, you're on your way. I can tell you that.
Thank you, my man.
And you bring people to you make us feel really comfortable, very knowledgeable. And I'll stop there. They're going to think maybe I am your future agent. Now, as far as the question, I want to have a little fun with it. First of all, you know, as far as the team, I have an individual, but it's a team. You know, it would with AP's kind of aggressiveness. Let's, and I've talked a little bit about this before. Take the handcuffs off the offense. You know, let it fly and see what you happen. It's, you know, it's like go five man, you know, the wide receivers, wide. You know, I look at the 49ers, I look at the Miami Dolphins, the creative offense, and you're saying, how are we going to stop the 49ers offense? How are we going to stop Miami? So the next five games, get some really creativity. Let them try to stop you instead of being doggone conservative. What do you got to lose? So I'd like to see some aggressiveness there on the offense and do things that they weren't, you know, basically have done in the past, like running up the middle three times. Really change the whole dynamics of that. That would be my wish for that. The other one is, can you everybody remembers the techno? I'm in the high tech, and we all remember the mobile phone. Before we had mobile phones, right?
Yeah.
You know, what were we going to do? It's like a little computer right now, and the mobility of the phone and traveling and all to have that, it's kind of a security blanket. What I'd like to see as far as an individual is O'Connell somehow acquire some much-needed mobility. Maybe some Fred Astaire legs, and work on that mobility, the flexibility, because I really think he has a lot of the tools that's needed to be a very good leader and a quarterback. You know, he's not, I mean, he's pretty accurate, but think about it, Q. If you take every quarterback in the National Football League, what do they all have in common? They throw the ball. Are they 100% accurate? Do they throw interceptions?
Right.
Do they have incomplete passes? So, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of what it takes. But the mobility is a big deal. If he can work on that and improve that step by step, and I think it would help the Raider team. May not be the first-string quarterback. Definitely would keep him as a backup if he doesn't make it as that. But that's what I would wish moving forward for O'Connell. And those are my thoughts.
Hey, good stuff, good stuff. Prutucky Raider right there. Thank you, first of all, for the kind words. Definitely appreciate that. But, yeah, I'm with you with the mobility when it comes to Aiden O'Connell. I'd love to see more. Again, it doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson-esque. It doesn't have to be Jalen Hurts. It doesn't have to be, you know, this guy, that guy, or the other, Justin Fields and all that. But it has to be a little something. It would help the Raiders. It would help the offensive line. It would keep defenses honest as well. So, yeah, I'm with you because he's got it between the ears, which I think is the most important, is to have it between the ears. And I do believe he does. He has a strong arm. We've seen that. He stretched the field more times in two games than Jimmy G did all year. So I definitely think that there's something there, but the mobility is something that I believe would be huge if he could add that to his repertoire. But sometimes it's just not who you are. Thanks so much for that call. We appreciate you. 3:55 is the time. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We got our NFL picks week 13. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.